I am a scientist. It's so cool, son of a bitch.
Why? I can't comprehend. Why would you eat that potato?
I am surrounded by a bunch of unskilled, cowardly worms.
Just believe in yourself, not in the Simone that I believe in, not in the Kamina that you believe in. Have faith in the Simone that believes in you.
I am protector of the innocent. I am the light in the darkness. I am truth.
You may have invaded my mind and my body, but there's one thing a Saiyan always keeps. His scribe!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Otakus Must Die podcast, episode 2.
Hello, hello.
I'm your host, Jared Riley, here with Alex Moreau.
Good to be back.
And Ben Mallon.
Sup?
Sup.
Just keeping it real, yeah.
Tight. All right. So, anime.
How about that?
That's what we're here to talk about.
Maybe we should start with some news, perhaps.
Sure.
Jesus Christ. Hold on. You guys want me to do this news intro like 30 seconds in? I'm totally not prepared. Hold on. There we go.
I'm sorry. Alex wanted to do news now.
I was
not
really excited about the fucking news. Right.
Jared, I apologize. I should not have said you guys. Alex, what the fuck?
It's all Alex's fault. Okay.
I'm too hype.
Attack on Titan is coming to theaters in Japan soon. Live action. And they revealed a new standee, which is, you know, this cool, like, head thing, this giant head thing in the theater. And people, like, stand inside, like, the jaw and stuff and, like, get their picture taken. Looks pretty sweet.
That's awesome. What do you think about the live-action movie itself?
You know, I haven't really read a lot about the plot. I don't know how much has been revealed yet, but it should be good.
The casting looks spot on.
Yeah, it does. It's a bunch of Japanese people I don't know, but
have there been pictures from the set? Have they shown pictures at all?
No, there hasn't been very much leaked. Not that I've seen. They've done like promos and commercials and stuff. Like they did an Attack on Titan car commercial.
Really?
And I think there was like a tagline at the end that was just like coming to theaters 2015.
That was a pretty funny commercial too.
It was pretty rad.
Yeah, because every Attack on Titan cosplay I've ever seen is so shitty. So I don't know how that's actually going to translate to like live action.
Yeah, no, the costume design looks pretty legit. I think my biggest fear would be like bad CG for the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Because like Asian movies have the shittiest CG.
Especially in Japan, they really do.
Really?
Yeah. It's just awful. I don't know like if they're working with smaller budgets than America has, or they're just like they don't have like quality people to do the CG, but whatever
I think
it is.
They are definitely working with smaller budgets.
They are.
Quality CG costs a lot of money. So
that's true.
Every movie I've ever watched from Japan always like starts with like Dentsu presents this movie. Like
But you'd think that it'd have a decent budget with how pervasive shit like Attack on Titan is in Japan. They've got like fucking Attack on Titan razor blades.
Okay, but like, really that's just, you know, that small island. I mean, it's usually a Hollywood movie that has a bunch of CG goes global. I don't think Attack on Titan really goes global.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So,
yeah, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. I think it's going to be pretty sweet, but who knows?
Who knows?
All right, next up in news, Kakashi's face has been revealed.
And I don't know what people were expecting.
Like, yeah, because they've shown his bottom half and his top half separately before, and all you have to do is like
connect
put the
two
dots,
together. Motherfucker.
What's this? Can you briefly explain?
So Kakashi Hatake.
Kakashi.
He is a ninja from the the Leaf Village.
I love how you pronounce it though. Kakashi. Wow. I'm sorry. Okay. It's just that
it's
you put like poop
probably
in his name.
The Naruto dub pronounces it.
That's true. But anyways,
believe it.
He's a character that always has his face partially covered.
Okay.
So it's like a big mystery to fans, and they're all like, "Ooh, what's under the mask?" Like, blah 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 blah. But he's animated like every other fucking character in that show. So the lower half of his face pretty much looks identical to all the other lower halves of other people's faces.
Yeah.
Except he has a mole. That's like the end.
That mole surprised the shit out of me.
That mole did surprise the shit out of me. I was not anticipating the mole.
Did they ever show Wilson's face in Home Improvement? The guy behind the fence? Alex, are you too young for that?
I'm not too young for it, but I'm not a big fan of sitcoms.
No, neither am I. I'm just, it was kind of a thing though. did they show that, Jared?
No, I don't think they did. Maybe in the final episode, there was something weird that happened. I don't really recall.
I always kind of hope that they don't show that shit though. Like, I was hoping to like die with that still being a mystery to me, you know, or just like, or if they like, I just wanted them to like play jokes off of it forever.
Yeah.
To make this more That's relevant, kind of would you guys watch a Home Improvement anime?
I always want to see like the guy who has his face obscured have like, you know, a half-absorbed fetus, like his twin on his face, like a huge fetus-shaped
like
scar.
Just something really disgusting. And he's like, why the fuck do you think I've had my face covered right. up all these seasons? And everyone's like, oh God, I thought you were going to be handsome under there.
Right.
He was like, no, this is my dead twin.
Well, Kakashi is very handsome.
Yeah, he's a handsome motherfucker.
Ladies dig him.
They dig him with the mole, though.
How do they reveal his face? Just in an episode?
In a manga.
So there's like this little standalone comic, like a little tiny short story that was released for some sort of special event recently. And the entire plot of the short comic is that the main characters are trying to see what's under his mask through the entire comic. And they pair up with this photographer who's trying to like sneak a picture of it. And then at the very end, spoilers for all you people who are super invested in this, although we've already kind of spoiled it, the photographer turns out to be the guy with the mask, and he takes down his mask and he's like, hoo hoo hoo.
He uses transformation jutsu.
It sounds like a super interesting read.
If that sounds familiar to any of your viewers, it's probably because they had a filler episode in season one that was pretty much the same plot.
Sans the face.
Yeah, sans the face.
Which is the only reason I would ever fucking want a filler episode. But anyways.
Yeah. Final piece of news. This is a big one. Dragon Ball Super was announced.
Yay.
Yeah.
So what's the story on this?
That is a big one. So big.
It's going to be a... What was it? 13 episodes, I think?
Can't remember the number of episodes.
New anime for Dragon Ball.
From the original writer. Like, the original creator. Akira because Toriyama. Dragon Ball GT was somebody else.
Okay, so did Akira Toriyama write? I thought he just animated.
Oh, he wrote them, too.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So GT, then, is not going to be...
GT will no longer exist.
Okay.
And this is going to follow the continuity of the new movies. First one was Dragon Ball God.
War of the Gods.
Was it War of the Gods?
I thought every single one of those movies is like out of continuity. Like
it was like Super Saiyan God, wasn't it?
So I don't know.
And then another one, Frieza came back, which just came out recently.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Frieza coming back?
I feel like I gave up caring about that series pretty much after the Namek Saga. So
yeah, I could have left behind Frieza though. I like Cell Saga. That was good stuff for me.
I mean, I just lost interest in the whole series after that, so.
Well, anime is coming back for the first time in, what, 20 years?
So. Yeah, I'm excited for that. In celebration, I've gone back and started watching Dragon Ball Z Kai. Did you guys ever watch that?
Not a huge fan.
Is that the one where they kind of cut it down?
Yeah, they like cleaned up the animation. They got the originally intended voice actors, I think, and then they took out like all the filler pretty much.
Okay.
They like streamlined it. So I was so surprised. I went through the entire Raditz segment in like 2 days. And that would have lasted me like a couple of weeks previously, you know? They like cut the episode number in half pretty much.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's been kind of nice.
Did they keep the same voice actor for Vegeta? Because Vegeta's...
Chris Sabat?
Yeah, that's by far the best voice actor in the series.
He's still there.
They got him. They got a new Piccolo though, and I actually like new Piccolo more.
I thought Piccolo was also Chris. No?
I thought they got new one. Or maybe he just changed up how he does Piccolo. But okay. Piccolo just sounds like much more like a...
I find that very upsetting news if that's true. I love Piccolo, old voice. We're all talking about the dub.
Yeah, we're all talking about the dub.
Because I don't think anyone in the West really likes Dragon Ball Z's subcast. I mean, the original dubcast.
They just probably didn't grow up with it, right? Like, I didn't know how to go find, like, Japanese versions of fucking anything when I was watching Dragon Ball Z originally.
Oh, I did. I had a friend who bought a bunch of fucking bootleg VHS tapes on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
That were all subbed, like, fan-subbed VHS, eBay.
I borrowed that. That was awesome.
Yeah, like, half of them were, like, you barely see through the static. But it was actually pretty awesome. It was actually kind of really awesome.
That was the first time I watched the Android Saga, was when I borrowed that.
Was it Japanese VHSs?
Yeah, because it hadn't come out here yet, had it?
No, it was cool.
Yeah, yeah. That was back early 2000s. That's how we rolled.
Yep. So Dragon Ball Z, or I mean just Dragon Ball, is just coming back. It's going to be great. So
has there been any hints about the plot?
I don't think so. Not too much.
All right.
I don't like the kind of new way that they've been animating the characters, though. I will throw that out there.
Like the new movies?
Yeah, like the new movies. They've made the eyes a lot smaller and much more serious, and they made the muscles like ridiculously toned. They were always like ridiculously toned in the original ones, but now they're like super fucking jacked even when they're relaxed, you know?
Well, of course they are.
But in the original ones, when the characters were relaxed, you didn't see like too much definition. You got like kind of like the silhouette, and they were very clearly just like chilling, eating rice.
Well, you tried training in 200 times gravity for a certain amount of years.
Once your power level hits a certain, you know, number of millions.
Like, you don't go back down to 20.
Yeah.
Your arm's just always going to be jacked, man.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it. All right. So moving on. Alex, what do you think we should talk about? You've been just wishing we could talk about bicycle anime lately.
I just want to talk about like sports anime in general. I think it's like such an interesting genre.
What's interesting about it, you think?
Okay, so I want to talk about how your friend said that like all sports anime are inherently super gay.
And like she was alluding to Kuroko's basketball for the most part. She kept referring to it as my gay basketball anime that I watch. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I watch a basketball anime which is not gay.
Mm-hmm.
And which one are you talking about? Oh, it's the one about the blue haired guy and he's really short and he's good at passing. It's like, oh, fucking Kuroko's basketball. Okay, that's not gay at all. It's a fucking regular shonen. It's like, fuck you.
It's with these shows, they really like toe the border though, and on purpose, because they know like who their target demographic is. But so it's like, I don't think anybody's arguing that it's explicitly gay, but everyone loves to joke about how very implicitly gay it is.
It's not a joke for the shipping fangirls who are really into yaoi though.
That's true.
You know,
some of
those
people
will
like take it to heart, and they'll get bloody over their favorite couples.
What do they call that? Like, it starts like a food Jionshi or something. Like, what is that called? What's the name for that sort of girl who's like,
oh,
into that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's like Fujiyoshi.
Yeah,
we have like the Tumblr crowd who, from what I've seen, they take every single fictional character and decide they're trans or the opposite gender or
exactly.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Sounds like that kind of thing.
Like the best friend of the character is totally their husband.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're secretly married or secretly in love.
But it's like a normal series, right? And like the demographic is supposed to be like sports fans or something. Like, it's like so ridiculous they would take it so far out of context.
I only hate stuff like that not because I care about a character being trans or whatever. I hate it because it's people you know, pretending that they can interpret something different than the artist's original vision for the characters. They can just make stuff up and they'll make it real.
I will say that for a huge portion of the sports anime, that is the original artist's intention, though.
Is to be ambiguous.
Is to like very like heavy handily cast the characters as gay. It's like a huge point of the show for a lot of these. I don't know about Kuroko no Basket because like I haven't watched that one, but like there's like a show called Free Iwatobi Swim Club.
Well, that's Free is a female fan service show for sure.
Oh yeah, female fan service, and all the characters are heavily implicitly homosexual.
No, I wouldn't say that's true.
You wouldn't say that that's true?
No.
No, it's totally written for them to be that way. It's not like they don't do anything on screen, but the writers very intentionally cast them to be like gay with each other, just so that the fangirls can run away with it, you know?
Wait, so fangirls are into like dudes being gay with each other?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Big time.
They love it.
Huh. I always knew that, you know, guys are into girl on girl stuff, but I didn't realize girls were into.
Well, there was some sort of study done on like just like otakus in general.
Yeah.
And the results were that guys loved singular female characters and wanted to be with them.
Yeah.
Girls loved watching other characters be with each other, mostly gay guys.
Okay.
So that was an interesting sort of thing to bring up, which is why you see like all these sports animes where like they intentionally create pairings so that girls can create smut of them and like fangirl over them like crazy.
Are there any like explicitly gay animes? Is that like taboo still in Japan?
Or there are
a ton
of explicitly gay animes.
Okay,
too.
Okay. All right, good.
But that's like why it makes me upset when they run with like something just like that's a shonen and just.
Oh yeah, well, fandoms will be fandoms. They like crack pairings are almost funny. I'm actually like I saw somebody do like this crazy crack pairing fan art of like Captain Crunch with like the Mrs. Buttersworth mascot. Like people will pair anything.
Yeah. Wow, people are sick.
People are fucked up.
But you've been watching a lot of Yaoimushi Pedal.
Oh, I have. I've been watching a ton of Yaoimushi Pedal. That one is a great one because it's very clearly a shonen, just like a shonen anime where they're all buddy-buddy friends. But at the same time, they throw little bits of fan service for girls and guys.
Yeah.
For the girls that want to pair the boys and for the guys that just like want to see a little some.
But the majority of that show, you have to admit, is about the like the mechanics of bicycle riding.
Yeah. And I love that. That's the big in for me.
But I feel like people are wearing blinders where it's like they don't even notice that. And they just like all they care about, oh my God, I have to ship this other guy with this guy. And like they're not even paying attention to those scenes where they're talking about like leg strength or like pedal speed or
yeah,
something
like
that.
Tactics, like raise your cadence on this portion of the trail. And like, I don't know. I love that. I love the sports element. And like the camaraderie that it portrays between the characters is great.
It's awesome.
It's also just genuinely funny anime. And like, how often do I come across those? It's not too often.
It's a good anime.
Solid.
I recommend anyone here watch that anime.
So you guys are talking about these animes with these ambiguous relationships. The way that I can relate to this is I played some JRPGs recently where there was a male character. He basically had two female love interests, and the whole game, you know, you're expecting him to eventually settle on one, but he doesn't by the end of the game. It's just kind of frustrating. It's
right.
Like, it's like, you know, it just want him to, I want some
closure.
Right.
But you're not going to get that from any sort of like Japanese creative work. Huh. Because even if a character does marry like another character, they still have like a fucking harem trailing after them. Yeah. I'm looking at you, Sword Art Online.
Well, I don't know about that. He's pretty solid with Asuna.
Well, yeah, except for that whole season where he dicked around with Sniper Chick.
He didn't do anything with her. That was all fan service just from A1 Pictures.
Okay, I mean. Yeah, they just got real close. Like, just okay, if I was his wifey, I would not dig what happened between them.
Well, that's all you have to say, yeah.
It was all very platonic.
Like, if his wife was standing there watching him, would he have done the same things?
I don't know.
No. Doesn't sound like it.
No.
No.
And
what
it's just
did
like,
he do, though? What did he do that was so bad?
They left it ambiguous on purpose, too, just so that fans could be like, oh, he could totally bang Sniper Chick. Because, like, they very clearly implied that she had a thing for him.
Yeah.
She's constantly just, like, blushing and being like, oh, he's so cool. Come save me.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the most part, she thought he was a girl, though. So
yeah. Well, that lasted for, like, a whole, like, one episode when she first met him.
It was a little longer than that.
When she gave him the tour around the city?
Yeah.
You guys are getting a little obscure now.
Well, everyone sorry. But you has watched Sword Art Online, so.
I don't believe you.
Believe it.
Oh, gross.
Just walked right into that one. You don't get that reference either, do you?
I have no idea what just happened.
It's Naruto.
Yeah, it's an English Naruto.
Naruto. My mom used to always say Naruto.
Naruto. Because in Japan, he ends a lot of sentences saying like databayo or something.
Mm-hmm. And it has like no real English translation. So they just gave him this catchphrase, believe it.
Oh.
So he would turn and look at the camera and give like a thumbs up and be like, believe it.
Oh, like, ah, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Or pretty great, you know, depending upon how much you like to cringe at your TV shows.
So do you want to talk about some current anime?
Sure. Let's talk about this season.
The season is hot.
This season is what? This season is lukewarm.
What?
I would say it's just like two titles have been amazing and the rest of it has been feh.
Well, I like Yuki Nagato.
Yeah, that's
is
been
that
hot.
One of the amazing ones?
That's been hot. Yeah, that's up there for me.
That's actually lukewarm for a lot of people.
Really? What are they saying?
They're saying that they just think it's too like over the top moe and stuff.
Oh,
well,
clearly,
a lot of people really don't like moe.
Their
I guess.
Moe threshold is like lower than ours because I'm pretty up there.
I don't think I have a moe threshold.
I don't know. What about Kofuku Graffiti?
Oh yeah, Gourmet Girl Graffiti. Yeah, that was a little too moe.
That's the bar right there.
I love how there's like little hints and stuff in Yuki Nagato to the main series. Like when Kyom was about to fall asleep in a couple episodes ago, and Asakura like stabs him in the back with a pen.
Oh man, I didn't get that
right
when it
where
happened.
He had been stabbed with the knife in the anime.
Fuck, that's
from,
awesome.
From the disappearance movie, it was awesome.
Ben's just like, I have no fucking.
I have no comment. I have nothing to say to you guys.
We'll get around to it because we're watching Haruhi together right now. And
you watched that bit though, when the chick totally went crazy and tried to kill him in the classroom.
No, I think I know the gist of what you're talking about.
But there's a part where he actually gets stabbed by her. So
yeah. No, I believe you.
Oh, no. I do. I love all the little tiny nods. I don't know. I like the character redesigns, too.
Except for Horseface Kyon. I miss him.
Yeah, he looks a lot less mature in his current design.
But it's the same design as the manga, actually. So what are you
really
going to do? Yeah. So
totally.
I don't think Satelite is like taking any liberties or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would actually do a good job animating a third season of Haruhi Suzumiya.
What else are people even bitching about? So like, what, they think it's too moe? Do they not like the animation?
They don't like the character designs. They don't like the moe-ness, obviously. And they just think the story's too fluffy and nothing really serious happening. And it's just not...
They wanted like more like Haruhi Suzumiya kind of
stuff.
I mean,
Haruhi Suzumiya is all about time travel and weird concepts and...
Yeah.
How often do they do this with an anime where they kind of release a new version of it that's totally different style?
I would say it's pretty rare.
Yeah, okay. Not very often at all.
I was going to say, because to me, the whole concept of taking something that people like and then just fucking with it and making it totally different, it's no surprise people have a problem.
Yeah, that doesn't go over well.
Yeah.
This is just an insanely popular IP.
Yeah.
Well, even worse then. You know, I mean, you're going to have people who like it, but you know, the hardcore fan base is most likely going to be... I'm surprised that they're just lukewarm about it and they're not really pissed.
I think that they were like expecting something different than what it is.
Okay.
They were expecting season 3.
Yeah, they were expecting like the entire thing, but like new content. But this is just like an entirely new creation.
Is there going to be a season 3?
I hope
Jared
so.
Jared would like that to happen.
Oh. You know, I was hoping this anime would be popular enough that they would consider it. The thing is, the original animation studio, Kyoto Animation, sort of decided to start doing their own thing and animate their own properties instead of adapting other people's work.
Gotcha.
What are they even doing these days?
Sound Euphonium.
Mm. That's a good segue. Tell us about Sound Euphonium, because I haven't watched that one.
You know, have you ever seen K-On?
No, but that has been at like the top of my list for a while now.
You haven't seen
K-On? That looks
wow.
So fucking cute.
It's kind of like that. Pretty much. They have it's like the third anime in a row they've had that's sort of kind of like K-On.
It's just like super cute slice of life, really great animation.
Yeah.
The thing that I really like about K-On, like I haven't even been able to watch it yet, but just what I've gleaned from like GIFs and things like that and clips I've seen online, they animate like human gestures really well.
They do.
Like everything looks very like natural and casual, which is not something that you see too often in animes.
And their backgrounds, compared to their characters, are pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah.
They mesh well.
Mm-hmm.
Which, there's an anime out right now that's fucking terrible in that regard. It's called, like, Re-Can, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one I think I was talking about. It was one about the girl who saw ghosts or something. And
oh, yeah. We mentioned that.
It has backgrounds that are, like, realistic looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're, like... I don't know what the animation technique is exactly, but
like they just painted over actual photographs or something like that.
Yes, but it's like super regular anime character designs,
so it's like really jarring. It's the difference between
super
them.
Jarring. I cannot even barely look at it. And there's characters in there that have like huge bangs over their faces, and like their eyes are just drawn super obviously over them. And are we talking like
Yu-Gi-Oh style, like hair and eyes, where it's just like crazy?
It's the worst I've ever seen of hair and eyes. I had to drop it
something.
After one episode. It was terrible. Yeah.
Oh, so, man.
So don't watch Re-Can, everyone. It's not a good anime for the art.
We'll make Ben watch that one, though.
Yeah, you guys never made me watch whatever the hell you said you're going to make me watch last
week. We gave you homework, you just didn't do it.
You did?
I mean, we're not going to be here when you're watching this shitty anime. We don't want to watch that shit.
Yeah, good lord.
You got to write this shit down for me because I don't really remember these words you're saying.
You go to Google and you're like, okay, what was it called again?
Something Japanese.
Something I don't understand. Yeah.
All right, fine. We'll make you not watch something terrible.
Unless it's Ghost Stories. I still think that we should get hammered and watch Ghost Stories.
Oh, that's one you showed us a couple weeks back. It was like the dub of the one that...
That was a funny dub.
You want to explain the story behind that real quick?
Okay, so Ghost Stories was originally created by this studio that just shelled out like shit quality anime like crazy. And it was bought by an American company because they wanted to dub it and sell it in America. And they watched this anime and they realized that it was so fucking terrible. There was no way they were going to make money off of it. So, and they already had voice actors lined up. They already had the rights. They already had everything like good to go. So they basically just told their voice actors like, hey guys, you can do whatever the fuck you want with your lines. We don't care. So every single line in the anime dub is improvised and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. It was from the highlights you showed me, it's pretty cool that they, you know, the actors kind of come up with some recurring themes and they give their characters good characterizations.
Yeah.
It was just funny.
Everyone developed, like all the voice actors just very clearly developed their own characters, like whatever they wanted to be.
Yeah.
And rolled with it.
That is definitely going to be get inebriated and watch that.
Yeah, we have to do that.
So. we're going to schedule that so it actually happens. That'd be fun.
I'll just like put it on my calendar, like get drunk, watch Ghost Stories.
Right.
Let's do it. We can talk about it. Oh, what else are you watching, Alex?
Oremonogatari.
Yeah, me too.
It's so good.
Yes.
It's just an incredibly satisfying anime. Like we were talking about this earlier, but it's... Oh man, is it spoilers to talk about what happens?
No.
In a recent show?
It's recent, but happened like
a couple
episodes ago.
It's up at episode 4 or 5 right now.
Just give a warning, I think. Yeah.
Okay, spoilers. If you don't want to have Oremonogatari spoiled for you, probably skip like the next like 10 minutes of this podcast. There you go.
10 whole minutes, huh?
Jesus.
Yeah, it wasn't what I expected because the first two episodes I was expecting something very different. I was expecting to be very frustrated.
Yeah, right. Me too. I was expecting it to be like Gekkon Shoujo, where it's just like there is this really like amiable protagonist. They're trying to get their love interest, but they're never fucking gonna get there because they don't have the balls to tell them.
And then some convoluted love triangle as well. I was expecting that too.
Yeah, convoluted love triangle seemed like par for the course. And I don't know, something tragic would happen that would keep them separated forever. Yeah. But no.
They just troll, so like, nah, fuck it. Happy. Everything's happy. Everyone's happy.
3 episodes in, he actually gets the love interest. There is no love triangle.
The best friend just is like the most supportive friend in the universe.
He is like the best fucking friend. So it's just like, we're all excited about this anime because just everything is so nice.
Everything's just wrapping up so nicely, but there's like 6 more episodes to go.
Yeah, it's still compelling because like they're actually like well developed and like fleshed out characters, so just watching them do shit is entertaining.
Right.
I think that the rest of the series is going to be them trying to hook the friend up with someone.
That would be kind of a nice little twisty.
I don't know. That's just my theory.
Doesn't matter what the story is. I'm kind of over the whole this thing's eventually obviously going to happen, but we're going to string it out for
like
7-8
seasons.
More episodes and yeah, whatever. Yeah. We're just going to kind of keep on pushing it and teasing it. I'm so done with that type of storytelling personally. So
that's why I was really frustrated. So I was just really so happy.
It's like tears of joy. I'm like, oh my God, the main character actually got the girlfriend in like 2 episodes.
Nice.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was great. I think everyone needs to watch that anime, no matter what genre you prefer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Give it a go. I really like the protagonist. He's got, like, a lot of people are scared to like go on a limb and make like, not to say that he's ugly, but he's not like your typical anime lead character, you know? The main character is like this big bulky guy and he's got these really comically large lips and
he's
like
got some
tiny
banana
eyes.
Lips for sure.
Nanner lips. And he's got like a shaved head. Like there's nothing about him that strikes you as like particularly like princely or typical anime protagonist, you know? But no, he's a great guy. He's got a great best friend. He gets the girl. That's good stuff.
He's like the guy all the guys love, which I love. It's just so funny. This is like everyone has a man crush on him except for the chicks.
Oh, I got a man crush on him for sure. He's got a good heart.
You don't like his pretty boy best friend?
Huh?
His pretty boy best friend?
I mean, like, he's cool, but you wouldn't want to date a guy like that.
But he showed his true colors, though. He only dates girls who's nice to his friend.
Oh.
Remember that?
Oh, man, when he revealed that was so cute. Part of the show is that, just for Ben's sake, guys listening, the main character has this best friend, and his best friend is super handsome and charming and smart and like good at sports and everything, but he never gets a girlfriend. He keeps on getting asked out by the girls that like the main character, and
the main character likes.
There we go.
Okay.
So the main character like gets a crush on this girl, and every single time she ends up falling for his best friend, this handsome, cool guy.
Yeah.
But he rejects all of them super cold-heartedly, and you learn like three episodes into the series that the entire time he's been doing this because he's just such a good friend to the main character. He's just sacrificing like 16 years of love and affection for the sake of his best friend. Because all these girls were secretly bitches and saying shit about his friend.
Oh.
So he wouldn't date them. He's such a good friend.
Yeah. It's a beautiful story.
wait, so they were saying bad things about the main character?
Yeah.
Yeah, they say terrible things.
They'd be like, oh, how could anyone ever date him? Ooh, he likes him or something.
Ooh,
like that.
He's creepy. And they would like giggle to their lady friends about it because chicks can be bitches.
I was gonna say that it was just like he wasn't dating them because his friend liked them. There comes a point where you gotta draw a line. I'm just saying that
he might have drawn that line as well, but I don't think his friend really told him very often when he likes girls.
Right, I'm just saying that, you know, if a bunch of girls were into me and I kept on rejecting them solely on the basis of my friend liking them, that would make me just a little bitch.
You just get tired of it eventually.
Well, it would just make me just a total pussy, you know. Eventually. Now, it depends.
You don't have, like, the bros before hoes code?
No. It's totally situation dependent because...
You only rejected them because I was in love with them and you know it.
No, like, if you had, like, a childhood friend or somebody you've been courting for years, whatever, that's different. But if it's, like, somebody we both know, kind of the same amount and, you know... She's into me, but not into you. I mean, well, fuck you then.
You'd be like, Pat, sorry, man.
It's like, sorry about that guy. Just saying. It's totally irrelevant
discussion. No, I get that, yeah. Or like if a girl like enters a friend group and you guys all hang out with her mutually for like a really long time. Is that a different situation?
Yeah, exactly. At that point, really, it's everybody's fair game.
Yeah.
Or, whoever... she chooses has obviously first option.
And then it's on the other guy to just like take it like a man and be like, all right, I hope you guys are happy.
Absolutely. Because she had the opportunity to choose him and she didn't. I'm just saying.
That makes sense. And in Ore Monogatari, the main character does that too. Like every single time it actually starts off where he's trying to get the girl that he likes to date his best friend because he thinks she likes him. So he's being like a really good best friend. He's like, I'm going to take one for the team and hook you guys up.
Yeah.
So.
And then. Yeah.
Yeah. And then things panned out his way.
Yep. Good stuff. So have you been watching My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu?
Not the new season. No.
No.
It was another one of those. Okay. So like the first season, I pretty much just had on as background noise. And I would look at the screen and be like, they're still doing things. Things are still cute. Okay. And then I would just turn back to whatever I was doing. So it was a very, like, meh anime for me.
I'd forgotten how, like, sort of melodramatic that series was. It's actually, I'm having a hard time watching it.
Just because of, like, how explosive their emotions are. Everyone's, like, constantly crying and
running
away.
Everything's so important
and, like,
in high school. It's like, oh, my God. What are you going to do? Because, you know, I decided to be a self-sacrifice, you know, in this big drama between friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you guys even arguing about? It makes no fucking sense.
No, I can't give a shit about any of that. Yeah. It's like, I couldn't give a shit when it was actually happening to me, let alone a bunch of like anime characters just like run around crying because they're like, I saw her give him cookies or something like that.
It's definitely realistic, but it's like too realistic.
it's too real.
It's not fun to watch a lot of the time.
Probably just for teenagers, sounds like.
What else have you been watching then? Let's see. It says you've been watching Punchline.
Yeah. I've been watching Punchline. I'm a little bit behind now, but that one is, that one's had a weird relationship with me. Like, I really love the animation. It's very bright, and they do these random ass action scenes, which are really smooth. The characters all look really great. I really love the sense of humor. It's made me laugh a couple of times. And again, like, that doesn't happen too often with anime. So I'm really impressed by the amount of times I've giggled at anime this season. But yeah, great humor, great animation. But the fan service just like slaps you in the face.
There's a lot of it.
Just like rams it down your throat. There's so much of it. It's actually like an intrinsic part of the plot.
Oh.
And so like it's self-aware. It knows the fan service is absolutely ridiculous. And that's kind of the point.
That's sometimes so, not that bad though.
Yeah, it's sometimes not bad. It's just, I guess in this particular instance, it's a little bit too much.
Hmm.
Like if they had reduced the sheer number of panty and bra shots, then I would think that joke is funnier. But it's like when you hear the same great joke over and over and over and you're like, okay, I get it. He loves panties. He, like, there's this thing that happens where every time he's too sexually aroused, the world blows up.
What?
Every time he's too sexually aroused, the world blows up.
That sounds really weird.
I kid you not. And then it was like they made this ridiculous joke out of it, right? Because it's super over the top. So he's super, like, the main character is super confused by this. He's like, why does the world end every time I get a hard-on? And the character that's supposed to explain everything is like, that's not important. We're going to move on. And he's like, what? No, I need to know. They're like, it's not important. We're not going to talk about it. So it is a very self-aware anime, which can make any sort of cringiness a little bit better, you know?
But then everything's better in the next episode?
Everything is, I don't know. The next episode was just like a lot more of the good stuff.
I mean,
stuff.
After the world blows up, I mean, everything just goes back to normal.
Oh, yes.
It sounds like Aqua Teen Hunger Force or something like that.
It is a lot like that in some aspects because like, he blows up the world, and then the character that explains everything, like the token talking animal character that explains fucking everything, is like, don't worry, though, you can travel back in time. And he's like, what? Why? And the character is like, forget about it. You don't have to know why. And they reverse time and kind of do everything over again. But it's just a lot of like, they target a lot of anime tropes and just like have fun with them.
Sounds a little too much. A little too much for me, maybe.
That's what a lot of people have been saying. I'm very borderline with it. I really want to watch it because, again, I love the animation and it's really funny. But I don't know. It could be like beating a dead horse a lot, like beating that dead horse until it's like actually jello.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been a thing.
Any other current season stuff you think we should talk about?
Hmm.
We could save current season stuff for next episode as well.
Yeah, it's just hard for me to talk about more current season stuff when all I've been doing is watching so many fucking bicycles.
Yeah.
Bicycles have been my life for like a week now.
I've been watching a little bit more anime than you, but I could wait to talk about Baby Step Season 2, Knights of Cydonia Season 2, and what have you.
Yeah. Well, actually, oh man, can I even talk about Baby Steps when I want to see that? Do I want you to spoil it for me?
Well, probably not.
It's there's nothing much to spoil. It's a tennis anime. It's very technical.
It's true. Don't tell me who wins the competitions.
The main character starts as a novice playing tennis, and he gets better as he keeps playing.
That's
and
crazy.
Shit.
And it gets better and better and better, and then keeps fighting more powerful tennis players.
Question mark?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's really pretty much it.
Baby steps.
It's a good anime.
All right.
It's a solid sports anime. It's one of the more solid sports anime, I would say.
All right.
Because there's no superpowers, which I like.
Oh, yeah, the superpower thing in Yamamushi Petal got kind of silly.
Do you think there's a superpower in Yamamushi Petal?
Oh, yeah. The, like, Taro Kurochi, he has the lung capacity that's like four times the size of the average human, allowing him to oxidize his blood much more quickly.
That and actually so, like, made a little bit of sense, though, because he was a huge guy.
Well, he was a huge guy, but four times the regular lung capacity. And then he would do this thing where he goes like, he sucks in just like a bunch of air and like powers forward. Or like the Makishima, like the lady killer one that all the fangirls love, how he can do like this super ridiculous like side to side dancing that allows him to go up mountains really quickly.
That might also be somewhat
realistic.
Nobody does dancing like that. You would kill yourself.
Is anybody shooting up before the races? Because that's realistic. That's about the only
reason. You're right. I mean, it gets a little crazy, but it's definitely not superpowered. Because
yeah.
Kuroko no Basket is superpowered.
Really?
Like the guy, there's a guy in that anime who can make a shot from any place in the court, no matter what.
What the fuck? How does
100%?
How can he be a part of the show?
Full court shot. In.
How can they even have competitions with a fucking character like that?
Because I mean, one of the guy's like powers is like super high jumping, so he blocks him.
Okay.
And it takes him a little bit of time, a couple seconds to get his shot right, to aim or something.
Gotcha.
So he has a weakness.
They should just put him in the corner and have him just shoot for days.
Yeah.
But oh, did you ever watch that football anime where? It had superpowers, but that's just because it straight up in your face said, like, hi, I'm a demon and I play football.
What was it, Eye Shield 41 or something like that?
I don't know. I can't remember the title for the life of me.
I watched like the first episode, a football anime, which I think is the only one.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to watch that just so I could understand what the fuck even football. Like, I can't watch the Super Bowl. I don't know what the shit is going on. So maybe if I watch anime, it'll put it in like nice, digestible terms for me.
Maybe you should just watch football and pay attention.
No.
I noticed how superpowered the anime was, and I dropped it within one episode, so it must have been pretty ridiculous.
There are no character dynamics in actual football.
Oh, yeah. Sure there are.
Well, I think that's pretty much all we have to cover, unless there's something else you want to talk about. Or Ben.
Do you want to talk about anime?
Is something anime-related you want to talk about?
Well, the game I was talking about in the other podcast, Devil Survivor 2, is basically like an anime.
That's true.
And there is anime called Devil Survivor.
Yeah, it's based on that sequel. So I'm about to start playing that. Super excited.
Which girl do you want to date?
I don't know. You don't even know who the girls are.
You never played the DS version?
No.
Oh, gotcha. Ooh. You're in for a treat.
I never played the DS version of either. So the first time I played the last one was the 3DS remake. And yeah.
Nice.
So
are you going to watch the anime?
Yeah, probably. If it's good, if I enjoy the story. I really enjoyed the characters in the story of the first one. So
I don't know if I've heard good things about it, but I don't know if I've heard bad things about it either.
I have heard a lot of nothing about it.
There was a lot of mediocre talk about it from what I saw.
Well, you should watch it and review it and to let us know how it is.
That might just be a little bit too much.
A little bit too much.
A little bit too much for me. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet with this podcast.
Well, all right.
A little fast.
Well, it's been a pleasure to discuss anime with all of you, and hopefully we'll do this again sometime soon.
Keep watching anime, guys.
Keep it up. Keep it up, everyone.
Good job.
Keep doing your best. Just watch.
So long.
Bye-bye.